We're going to look at a passage of Scripture. 1 Corinthians 11 is the passage. And as you're finding that, you realize that you and I have many things in common. One of the things that we have in common is most of us own a car or a truck. We are a society on the go. We have got to move. Cars are important. We cannot live without them, at least we think. But cars are expensive, and buying them is usually just the down payment. Cars require maintenance. There are two types of maintenance: that which is done to prevent a problem and that which is done when you have a problem. And I want you to think about the church, this church, in a similar way. There are two types of maintenance required: that which is done to prevent a problem and that which is done when you have a problem. And Paul deals with both kinds, and both kinds have to do with their times of corporate worship. So we're going to read 1 Corinthians 11, starting in verse 2. Paul says, "Now I praise you to the Corinthian church and to us. Now I praise you because you remember me in everything and hold firmly to the traditions, just as I delivered them to you. But I want you to understand that Christ is the head of every man, and the man is the head of a woman, and God is the head of Christ. Every man who has something on his head while praying or prophesying disgraces his head. But every woman who has her head uncovered while praying or prophesying disgraces her head, for she is one and the same as the woman whose head is shaved. For if a woman does not cover her head, let her also have her hair cut off. But if it is disgraceful for a woman to have her hair cut off or her head shaved, let her cover her head. For a man ought not to have his head covered, since he is the image and glory of God. But the woman is the glory of man. For man does not originate from woman, but woman from man. For indeed man was not created for the woman's sake, but woman for the man's sake. Therefore the woman ought to have a symbol of authority on her head because of the angels. However, in the Lord there neither is woman independent of man, nor is man independent of woman. For as the woman originates from the man, so also the man has his birth through the woman, and all things originate from God. Judge for yourselves, is it proper for a woman to pray to God with her head uncovered? Does not even nature itself teach you that if a man has long hair, it is a dishonor to him? But if a woman has long hair, it is a glory to her? For her hair is given to her as a covering. But if one is inclined to be contentious, we have no other practice, nor have the churches of God. But in giving this instruction, I do not praise you, because you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For in the first place, when you come together as a church, I hear that divisions exist among you, and in part I believe it. For there must also be factions among you, so that those who are approved may become evident among you. Therefore, when you meet together, it is not to eat the Lord's supper. For in your eating, each one takes his own supper first, and one is hungry and another is drunk. What, do you not have houses in which to eat and drink? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you? In this I will not praise you. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But a man must examine himself, and in so doing he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body rightly. For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number sleep. But if we judged ourselves rightly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are disciplined by the Lord so that we will not be condemned along with the world. The first item of maintenance for the church is behavior should never be seen as improper or disruptive in worship. We are, as a church, we are to make sure the focus of this church is Jesus Christ. And you as an individual need to see about the fact that, your focus as a person is Jesus Christ. We have a lot of roles. We have a lot of things that we do in life, but our goal, our focus should be Jesus Christ. In this passage and in this book, Paul has moved on to a new topic, onto one which he wants to deal with, not just the ones that they have raised. Because the first part of the letter to the Corinthian church was about things that they were asking about, and now he's shifted it to a situation that he wants to raise. And so Paul uses tact. He praises them where he can. But he's moving on to this preventive maintenance. He says, don't let the freedom movement afoot lead to problems for the church. It seems that they, as a people, conform to the Greek ways of life and not the Jewish. And the whole head covering thing was diametrically opposed to what the Jewish people were doing. But they were Greek. It was their culture to do it a certain way and for men and women to be looked at a certain way. And so he's dealing with it in that regard, in that context. But the issue is authority and the recognition of it. And that may have been a problem for the Corinthian church because of the idol worship and the practices of the people around it. So in verse 3, he lays down the principle of authority. Starting at the top, he says, God is the head of everything. He is the head of Christ. He is the source of Christ. And Christ then is the head, meaning the source of every man, even non-believers. Christ has authority over us. And he controls life and death over all of us. And then man is the source or the explanation for a woman's being. And he goes back and he's using Genesis language. The idea where when God created man and he saw that man needed something to complete him, he needed someone to complete him, he took a rib and fashioned woman. Now, I was at a marriage conference one time where the lady was, there was a husband and a wife doing the conference, and the wife said, just because, just as a woman was fashioned out of the man's rib, she is all about fashioned. But then she also quoted the other part of Genesis where it says that man, that God took the dust of the earth, and so men are dirt. Well, that's what it says. And so here we are. Paul is dealing with that. He's dealing with what God did in the book of Genesis. And then he makes in verse 13, he makes the argument from common sense. Is it proper? Is what you're doing proper? Is it proper for a woman to pray to God with her head uncovered? And again, it's about what's going on in the context, within the culture, within the situation. We ought not bow down to the culture, but if we do something within worship that offends or leads to a different idea, I've been on more than one international mission trip, and we would always talk about customs and how even hand gestures. But we will say things in this country that has one kind of meaning. And we were in South Africa one time, and if we would have said the same thing, it had a diametrically different meaning. And so you sometimes have to be aware of what's going on in the culture that you are ministering in. Well, women seem to have a part in public worship, as verse 5 suggests. But the manner in which she is doing it is being questioned, not her participation. He very straightforwardly pointed out to have a shaved head was a sign of disgrace. And to go about without a head covering was a mark of being a prostitute. So never let your behavior, never let your behavior be seen as improper or disruptive. John Guest, in an article entitled Only a Prayer Away, tells of taking the family dog out for a walk. It was a full moon, so bright that we cast a shadow as we walked along. But of course, the moon has no light of its own. It shone and it lit us up so brightly because the sun was shining on it. It merely reflected the sun's light. In the same way, we have no glory of our own, only such as is reflected from the light of Christ that shines upon us. That is what we live for, to shine the light of Christ, to bask in that radiance, to reflect it, to bring it to the world around us, not for our own sake, but for the praise of His glory. The church's behavior, your behavior, should never be seen as improper or disruptive in worship. Does your behavior honor God? Does your behavior honor God? Even if it seems odd or goes against a movement within our culture. And you say, well, aren't you arguing now in one way when a minute ago you argued in a different way? Here's the situation that we need to be aware of. If God makes very clear certain teachings about life, we need to honor those. We need to follow those. Even if culture says, you know what, if you feel like being a woman today, you can just identify as a woman. But if tomorrow you feel like you're a man, then you can identify as a man. No, that's not what, we ought not fall into that. But in terms of how we go about things in culture, in terms of how we represent ourselves, in terms of how we dress, in terms of how we look, ladies, the only thing I would say to you about dress is don't do anything that is revealing. Be sure dress is modest. And so we are to look at it in that way. Because worship, as we come together to worship, worship has to do with focus. Focus. On what or on whom are you focusing? Worship also has to do with honor. Are you truly honoring Christ in your thoughts, in your attitudes, in your behavior? Remember that the word worship is a shortened version of the old word worth-ship, which means showing God the worth that He holds in your life. So is your behavior at worship showing God the amount of honor you wish to show Him? There is always a maintenance that the church needs to be about. One type of maintenance is to keep a problem from starting. The second type is to fix a problem that has already arisen. And so the second item of maintenance for the church is to repair any divisions that cause hindrances to true worship. Again, we are to make sure that the focus of the church is Jesus Christ. Paul's been dealing with the problem of divisions within the church in the first part of the book of 1 Corinthians, but it was due to following one leader or another. Now he deals with divisions as they are manifested in worship. Specifically, what we would term today love feast. What we do as the Lord's Supper is completely different than from what they were doing and other faith groups will do. They would hold what we have called a love feast. They would come together and eat. And then as part of that, and they were really doing what you and I know as a Seder. But they would have this meal together. Now, they evidently did potlucks or covered dishes differently. Because it seemed to be that what they did was is that everybody brought their own and they ate their own. Well, what that began to point out was is that there were differences in the socioeconomic level within the church. Because one family, one group had a lot, and another group had very little. And it was becoming very evident, and that division was occurring. It seemed that they looked at the Lord's Supper as something less than a time of reverent worship. He said, look, I understand that people will naturally kind of separate due to heart commitment. But the problem arose when people allowed factions to become divisions. Oh, I'm one of the Sunday school teachers. I'm a little better than you are. Oh, I'm a fill in the blank. And that's where the problem was arising for them. And so they had allowed the observance of what we know as communion or the Lord's Supper to become more of a social happening where these divisions occurred than it was worship. And so dishonor to the symbols is dishonor to that which they represent. The Corinthians had insulted the symbols, the bread, the wine, and they had insulted Christ. And then Paul talks very straight to them and to us in verses 27 to 32, and I want to read that again. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But a man must examine himself, and in so doing he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself if he does not judge the body rightly. If you eat, if you drink with unconfessed sin in your life that you know God is not pleased with something in your life, that you know God is not pleased with something about your behavior. If you have willfully said, you know what, I'm going to do it my way. I don't care what your word says. Then I would suggest to you not to eat or drink. But if you're a member of another church, and as far as you know, that there is not unconfessed sin in your life, then you are welcome to partake. It is not a matter of this church membership. It is a matter of church membership. Are you going to eat and drink rightly? Because remember, we just came out of October and talking about why the five solas and why the Reformation was so important and it's still happening today. Remember that the Lord's Supper is not a sacrament, it is an ordinance. It is not a sacrament in that if we do this, then we get something. It is a remembrance. And so the need in the Corinthian church and in this church was to examine themselves rightly. I have split more than one piece of firewood in my day. More than one. And I learned a lesson about it in life in the church. If I used a power splitter, all I had to do was get the wood in place. But if I was trying to split the wood with a maul, I would look first for where there was a crack that had already appeared in the wood, and I would try to strike with the maul exactly where that split was. Because then, if I could do that, I could make the wood split. And that's true in a church. Anywhere there is already a division, where there is already a crack starting to show, that's where the split will occur. So the issue for you today is are you examining yourself rightly? Listen, you're not comparing yourself to me, because if you compare yourself to me, you'll look pretty good. The issue is are you looking at what God says in His Word about life? Not only in behavior, but also in attitude. Is what you're doing pleasing to Him? Are you aware of any divisions in the church? Are you trying to widen them, or are you trying to bring us together? What preparation did you make for worship? Well, I got up and took a shower. That's not what I'm talking about. What did you do? Have you asked the Lord to search your heart? Have you asked Him to show you if there's any way within you that's not pleasing to Him? We need to do that in just a moment. One other lesson from firewood. Where big branches forked from a bigger trunk, it was nearly impossible to split that piece of wood. It didn't matter if I was using a power splitter or not. And if this church, if any church, will keep Christ and not self the center of everything, splits or divisions will not be a problem. Is it time for maintenance in your life?